Dick ordered another hamburger. During the past few days, he'd known a hunger that nothing. 3 successive steaks, 12 Hershey bars, 1 pound of gumdrops seemed to interrupt. Perry, on the other hand, was without appetite. He subsisted on root beer, aspirin, and cigarettes. "No wonder you got leaps," Dick told him. "Ah, come on, baby. Get the bubbles out of your blood." "We scored. It was perfect."
"I'm surprised to hear that, all things considered," Perry said.
The quietness of his tone italicized the malice of his reply. But Dick took it, even smiled, and his smile was a skillful proposition. Here, it said, wearing a kid grin, was a very personable character. Clean-cut, affable, a fellow any man might trust to shave him. "Okay," Dick said. "Maybe I had some wrong information.
Hallelujah.
But on the whole, it was perfect. We hit the ball right out of the park. It's lost, and it's gonna stay lost. There isn't a single connection.
I can think of one."
Perry had gone too far. He went further.
"Floyd. Is that the name?"
A bit below the belt, but then Dick deserved it. His confidence was like a kite that needed reeling in. Nevertheless, Perry observed with some misgiving the symptoms of fury rearranging Dick's expression. Jaw, lips, the whole face slackened. Saliva bubbles appeared at the corners of his mouth. Well, if it came to a fight, Perry could defend himself. He was short, several inches shorter than Dick, and his runty, damaged legs were unreliable, but he outweighed his friend, was thicker, had arms that could squeeze the breath out of a bear. To prove it, however, have a fight, a real falling out, was far from desirable. Like Dick or not, and he didn't dislike Dick, though once he'd liked him better, respected him more, it was obvious they could not now safely separate. On that point, they were in accord, for Dick had said, "If we get caught, let's get caught together. Then we can back each other up. When they start pulling the confession crap, saying you said and I said." Moreover, if he broke with Dick, it meant the end of plans still attractive to Perry, and still, despite recent reverses, deemed possible by both. A skin-diving, treasure-hunting life lived together among islands or along coasts south of the border. Dick said, "Mr. Wells." He picked up a fork. "It'd be worth it. Like if I was nabbed on a check charge, it'd be worth it. Just to get back in there." The fork came down and stabbed the table. "Right through the heart, honey."
"I'm not saying he would," said Perry, willing to make a concession now that Dick's anger had soared past him and struck elsewhere. "He'd be too scared." "Sure," said Dick.
"Sure.
He'd be too scared."
A marvel, really, the ease with which Dick negotiated changes of mood. In a trice, all trace of meanness, of sullen bravura, had evaporated. He said, "About that premonition stuff. Tell me this. If you were so damn sure you were gonna crack up, why didn't you call it quits? It wouldn't have happened if you'd stayed off your bike, right?" That was a riddle that Perry had pondered. He felt he'd solved it, but the solution, while simple, was also somewhat hazy.
"No. Because once a thing is set to happen, all you can do is hope it won't. Or will, depending. As long as you live, there's always something waiting. And even if it's bad, and you know it's bad, what can you do? You can't stop living."
"Like my dream,"